So, equanimity means balance or perspective. Sometimes I call it a spacious stillness of mind. It doesn't mean indifference or coldness or not caring. It doesn't mean being passive or complacent, that we never do anything about some situation or problem. But it's almost more like wanting to have an awake, intelligent awareness of what's happening, as comprehensive a look as possible at what's happening, so that when we might choose to act, it's coming from all that information, rather than just being on the surface of things. So, for example, if we have a wave of anger come over us and we say, see if you can be mindful of the anger, see if you can pay attention to it without judging it, that just sets the stage so we can look deeply into the anger. If we're hating it the instant it comes up and feeling terribly ashamed of it, and I shouldn't be feeling this, and I've got to make it go away, and how much money have I spent on psychotherapy to make this go away, and it's still here, then there isn't going to be a lot of learning going on about the nature of the anger because we're too busy in the battle. Or if we get completely consumed by it as soon as it arises, and we just launch off into vengeful fantasy. You know, first I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do that, then I'm publicly going to do that to completely ruin their life. There's also not a lot of learning that goes on because there's not enough space. We're just lost and embroiled in the particular feeling. So we're trying to set the stage for a certain relationship to that anger so that we can learn more deeply about it. So we would say, for example, that anger is not just one thing. It's moments of sadness, moments of fear, moments of helplessness. In Tibetan Buddhist teaching, they say anger is the thing we pick up when we feel weak because we think it's going to make us feel strong. But what's the nature of that strength, really? Let's just look at anger. When we look at it in that way, kind of interested, paying attention, we see many things. We see the energy of it, which might be very positive for us to have. We also tend to see a very narrow view. It's a real tunnel vision. So, for example, think right now of the last time you were really angry at yourself. I don't know how long ago that might have been, but just bring that to mind. And let's take a look at the nature of that feeling. You're really, really angry at yourself. In that anger, do you also tend to recollect, well, there is this good thing about me, or that very same day I did that really stupid thing, I did that really positive thing? Probably not. More likely, our whole sense of who we are collapses around the incident we're angry about. So we see the nature of that collapse. These are all learning. These are all elements of learning, which can happen because we're looking, rather than either shunning and distancing and denying what's going on or getting completely lost in it. So that place in the middle, which we call mindfulness, has this element of equanimity, not for the sake of passivity, but for the understanding, which can be very profound, to see the sadness within the anger, to see the loneliness within the desire, to see the constantly changing nature of everything that arises in our experience. All of that becomes possible because of the vantage point we're taking. So people often think of meditation as this really passive almost silly sometimes activity, like you're just going to sit around and, you know, the roof's going to leak and you're going to notice and not do anything about it, or you're going to let other people be hurt and you're not going to protest, and you're going to let yourself be hurt and you're just going to kind of smile. And the words, I think, don't convey the reality. Maybe no words do, with enough clarity and power, so that it really takes a certain experience to understand that we're not talking about any of that. When, you know, people often say, what do you mean accept your experience? It doesn't make any sense. But we don't accept in the sense of, like, succumb. Like, okay, take me. But if we're so busy fighting, the moment we feel something or see something, we're just not going to understand it that fully. So let's pay attention for a while. Not bringing in our old reactions and old habitual ways of seeing things. Let's just pay attention. See what's happening right now. Without all of those layers of assumption and judgment and expectation. Okay, what is this? So that's kind of the spirit we try to bring to everything. And I'm going to introduce a walking practice now, kind of in that light. There are many ways of doing walking meditation. You may be familiar with a whole other way, which you're welcome to enjoy. Some schools of meditation talk about walking meditation, still resting the attention on the feeling of the breath. That's not particularly the way I learned it. But if that's the way you do it, as I said, you're welcome to do that. I'll say just a few things about walking, because there are many options, including not walking. but bringing the principles of the walking meditation into just sitting outside, for example. The idea behind the walking is really an extension of that kind of mindful, interested awareness to activity. So it's not just that we're sitting here meditating, but we're bridging into activities of everyday life. So in walking meditation, as I learned it, first thing I would say is eyes open. And if you're not walking, it's the same. You can sit outside, eyes open, and incorporate all of this into that as well. And in terms of eyes open, I often go back to the saying, which I think exemplifies what I mean by equanimity in these activities. And that's from a theologian in America who died some years ago, named Howard Thurman, who said, look at the world with quiet eyes. Look at the world with quiet eyes. And I love that phrase. I wanted to actually call one of my books that, Look at the World with Quiet Eyes, but the publisher didn't like that. So I often say that just in case someone is looking for a book title. And I offer it to you. Look at the world with quiet eyes. I think it just evokes so much of a sense. You know how we can be almost like those cartoon characters with their eyes out, you know, like, get me one of those, more of those. As we go into the world. Instead, just look at the world with quiet eyes. Doesn't mean you're closing down or you're ignoring a traffic light, for example. But there's just a kind of relaxation. And so actually we say sometimes, rest your gaze. You know, you can feel a kind of intensity and it looks, just rest your gaze. And that symbolizes the whole nature of the practice. Let's look at the world with quiet eyes. So in walking meditation, if you're not using something like the breath, and the way that I was taught was to have a very light attention on sensation while moving. So it's not like hunkering down and trying to get a tight, exclusive focus on, say, what you're feeling in your feet. But, and right now you can do it. Just with eyes open. Bring your attention to lightly rest, either on the feeling of your feet against the ground, or maybe your hands are touching, some sensation. So even as you're thinking or listening, you just keep coming back to that. So it's not tight, but it's like a touch point. It's a grounding for your energy. If you look around, see different things, just come back to that. So that's basically what we do in the walking. Formal walking practice means choosing an area. It might be, say, the width of this room. It might be shorter, depends on the circumstance. And you just walk back and forth. If you're moving quickly, as many people do in the beginning of a session, maybe you're just aware of your feet touching the ground. So it's kind of like touch, 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 touch. If, as the session goes on, if you're moved to, you might slow down somewhat. So you can feel your leg coming up and going down. Your other leg coming up, going down. This is not an anatomical exercise where you're trying to notice, like, well, this muscle group's doing this and that muscle group's doing that and those tendons or ligaments, I don't know. But just feeling, lightness, heaviness, stretching, movement. And again, you don't name them, but you feel them. Just this light awareness on those sensations. And then if you choose to, and this is sort of the characteristic mindful walk, you can slow down a lot. So you slowly bring your leg up, move it forward, place it down, shift your weight, and the next leg up, slowly. Not so slowly that you fall over, but pretty slow. And it certainly looks very odd. And you would only do it if you're in a protected environment where you're not going to make a spectacle of yourself. When we first moved into the Insight Meditation Society, it was 1976, and I know some of you have been there, but it's a large brick building, and it has this kind of sloping lawn down to the street. It's just a little country street called Pleasant Street, but there's some traffic on it, and people would be doing their walking meditation on that front lawn. And the cars would just like slow down. People's necks would crane. Like, who are those people? And what are they doing? So we got a little smarter and we put in some hedges, you know, that are growing. Because it does look very strange. But it's kind of fun, too. Just to be in touch with that kind of exquisite sensation and the slow movement. So whatever speed you move at is fine. You can experiment. It's really an exercise in having this kind of panoramic, relaxed view and yet having a touchstone for the awareness, a way to recenter, to reground our energy. As in all practice, the absolute essence of it is going to be beginning again. Because especially with eyes open, outside, you will find different distractions coming up. You'll think, well, let's see, if I walk from here to there, then, you know, or that's an interesting garden. I wonder, you know, whatever it might be. We always need to have the ability to begin again. Just begin again. It's okay. It's not a problem. What else? Do you have any questions just about the walking technique? Okay, and if you're not going to walk, just go outside, practice that gaze, feel the breeze, notice the shadings of light and shadow. Just be in your experience as much as possible in the moment, and again, just keep returning in that way. You'll have to tell us where we can walk.